Good to see you. Yeah. How's everyone going? I shared something this morning in Fremantle that I think I'm also going to share here again this morning. That, is it just me? About an echo? Okay. I didn't share that in Fremantle. What I shared was what I felt at the time when Freya was that, and this is the way that I said it, was that it's very important that we get our houses in order. We get our lives in order. That we draw a line in the sand and say, I'm for the Lord and I'm committed to following the ways of the Lord. And the reason I say that is because sometimes we might think that in the book of Daniel, it spoke about the golden image, where Nebuchadnezzar set up this golden image and everybody says, bow down. Well, they say bow down to the golden image. When you hear the sound, you bow down to it. Now, we have to, yes, that was an image. It was a, you know, it was an actual standing image that they erected. But I dare say that that's also a representation of a world system. It's also a representation of a world system that there will be, and it might not be the bowing, the literal bowing. Then it was literal, but it's now going to be an attack on your devotion and your commitment. And so are you committed to the Lord? If you're really committed, then do this or do that. And this is why I'm saying, whilst we can, listen and learn the voice of the Lord in your life. How does the Lord speak to you? Because he speaks to me differently than he speaks to you. And so the challenges that each and every one of us is going to face is that we are going to be tested at our level of commitment. Anybody wants to have lose weight? Lots of people. But how committed are you to doing it? Now, that's just a silly example, and I'm not trying to compare that to the golden image at all. But what I am saying is that there will be a testing of our faith. And we might think that it's afar off. It's actually here now. And so my encouragement for all of us is, let's gather around the Word of God. Let's gather around putting the Lord first in our lives, and not from a position of condemnation, but just as a word of encouragement. And I know it's hard with our children, you know, to sort of like gather them around the Word of God. But my encouragement with your grandchildren, let's all get to do this. If there's anything in terms of the next steps we can take, why don't we take another step in dedicating some time in our relationships? Let's dedicate some time to the Lord. We dedicate a lot of time to Netflix, Paramount, Disney, HBO, all of them, YouTube, Instagram, Facebook. If we dedicate 10, 15 minutes a day and say, you know what, and by all means, this is not a, you know, smack on the wrist. It's an encouragement. Please receive it as encouragement this morning. Amen. Amen. So last week, and welcome to, if you're going to clap, clap. So last week, we welcome to everybody again and to all our new guests. We're so thankful that you could join us this morning. It's always good to gather in the house of the Lord. And we thank you for all those that watch online, that listen to our podcast and all that. Last week we started the wisdom series on the path to wisdom. The path to wisdom. We finished last week with the words of Solomon from Ecclesiastes 12, where he says, "Don't let the excitement of youth cause you to forget your Creator. Honor him in your youth before you grow old and say, life is not pleasant anymore." Now, what he's basically saying there, that when you have a lot of strength, that's when you dedicate yourself to the Lord, because there will come a time when you're not able to do that. Then he goes on to say, The words of the wise are like cattle prods, painful but helpful. Their collected sayings are like a nail-studded stick with which a shepherd drives the sheep. But my child, let me give you some further advice. Be careful, for writing books is endless and much study wears you out. That's the whole story. Here now is my final conclusion. Fear God and obey his commands, for this is everyone's duty. If we are going to be on the path of wisdom, we said it all starts off with the fear of God, which is the beginning of all wisdom and all knowledge. And so we're going to devour this book to find from it how we can be on that path to getting wisdom and getting understanding, which is the principal thing. It's one thing to get on the path. It's another thing to walk in wisdom. We all want to walk in wisdom in all areas of our lives, financially so that we can have create opportunities for ourselves, relationally, in our health, physical, mental and spiritual health, in our career. What is it that we're going to dedicate and devote nearly a third of our waking time to? What is it that I'm going to be doing and what is my purpose in my life? But sometimes what stops us from walking in wisdom is our own personality. So we are all wired differently. Some of us are dominant, others are, you know, kind of influencing type of people, have those types of personalities that everybody gravitates towards. Others have a dominant personality. They're constantly leading ahead and they're very direct. Then there are others that are steady, they're good with people. And then, of course, there's those compliant ones. Compliant means that they have to dot every I and cross every T because they're detail-type people. So we've got our personalities that may get in the way of just us walking in wisdom. Our past, where we were brought up, the family environment that we were brought up in, the words that were spoken or not spoken, the things that happened in that small environment get in the way as well of us walking in wisdom. So, if I have a impulsive personality, on most occasions, I may struggle, and the operative word here is may, in the area of my finances, because most of my decisions around or most of my spending decisions will be made in a rash manner. Get a bit of money, bang. I'm buying this and I'm buying that. And the problem with these spur of the moment purchasing decisions is that they take you out of alignment of where your goals are and what you want to do in your life. And so this is why it's when we say your personality can get in the way. And also your personality gets in the way in relationships. For example, if you're a dominant person, very dominant, you don't care too much about detail, just give me the summary. I don't want the whole essay, give me the summary. And you can also be very forthright and direct and to the point. And people will, and also because you are a direct person, you can become so task-oriented. You're a dominant personality. You can become so task-oriented. All you want to do is to do what? Get the task done. So you come into the house. How you know that are you a people person or are you a task person is what happens when you come home after work. What is the first thing that you see? Do you see the people? Or do you see the stuff? That tells you, am I task? Am I people? Because if you're a people person, guess who you interact with first? The people. If you're a task person, you may interact with the people just so you can gaze over their shoulder to make sure that everything else, you know, is supposed to be in its natural order. Now, that the problem with that, you see, is that it can affect our relationships because how people perceive you is that, oh, man, he's so rough and he's so rude and he's or her, should I say. So personality gets in the way sometimes of us walking in wisdom. And it affects our relationships. And that's the one thing that we cannot afford, is where our personality is getting in the way of what we feel are the, some of the right things to do when it comes to looking after perhaps our finances. Because what happens is that, you see, you cannot help anybody if you yourself are in dire straits. You may want to help them, but you just won't be able to. And the best you can say is, God bless you. And I just think that this is where we have to exercise, we have to understand ourselves, understand our personalities, understand how I'm wired. Because if I'm wired in such a way that all I do is that I'm impulsive in the things that I do, guess what I have to, it's very important for me that I now put things around me so that I don't spend everything that I have. I'm mindful of the fact that, and I remember one mentor of mine said that before he gets home, he sits at the side of the road and just does a lot of exhaling. He's exhaling, he's just breathing out, because what he's trying to do is to exercise the stress of work so that when he gets home, he's not reacting to stuff. Now, I'm yet to learn that lesson. You know, because the first thing I do when I get is I see the stuff. But that's, I have to learn that maybe the best thing I can do is just go into the bedroom and just hide. Otherwise, it does create relationship conflict with your family. They start to perceive you one way when that's not the way that you want to present yourself to people. Even in the workplace, people would perceive you that way. You're obviously a caring person, but because you're so task-oriented, all they see are the instructions, and they don't see the love and the care that you have for people. John Maxwell in the Man in the Mirror blog says, the first person we must examine is ourselves. If our self-perception is distorted, then our attempts to influence others will be misguided and even manipulative. The first person I must know is myself. This brings me self-awareness. I need to know. Remember last week I talked about spending a lot, going into Maya and just buying stuff that I never wore. Yeah. Self-awareness. Ooh, okay, I got a problem. I got to deal with this. The first person I must get along with is myself. This leads to a healthy self-image. The first person to cause me problems is myself. And so I have to admit truth, which yields self-honesty. There has to be self-honesty in my life. And then the first person I must change is myself. And this attitude paves the way to self-improvement. I don't know if you've ever been whether you've heard somebody speak, you've heard something, and you say, if only so-and-so was here, they need this information. Anybody ever done that? Sometimes we have to look at ourselves. And so as we look to walk in wisdom in all areas of our life, God is inviting us to trust him. The first thing that God is doing is that if you're going to walk in wisdom, you have to trust me in the things that I say through my word, the guidance of my Holy Spirit. You're going to have to trust me in spite of your own personality, in spite of you wanting to do things your own way, because ultimately it will lead to your own good. Proverbs 3 verse 1 to 6 says, my child, never forget the things I have taught you. Store my commands in your heart. If you do this, you will live many years and your life will be satisfying. Never let loyalty and kindness leave you. Tie them around your neck. As a reminder, write them deep within your heart. Then you will find favor with both God and people, and you'll earn a good reputation. And this is the clincher, verse 5 of Proverbs 3. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean or depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Our limited understanding at times can lead us astray. This is why it says in Proverbs, there is a way that appears right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. Sometimes even us in our youth, we thought going down a certain direction was the best thing for us. And perhaps our parents tried to tell us, no, don't go down that road, go down this road. And sometimes because of a lack of understanding, we go down avenues, we start doing things that may start off as if they're right, but in the end, it doesn't lead to our own personal benefit. And this is why in Judges 21:25, it says that everybody did what was right in their own eyes. And so we have to understand that doing things that is right in our own eyes is like, I'm going to do what I want to do when I want to do it, however I want to do it, and with whomever I want to do it. But the Word of God, as people, as believers, as followers of Christ, the Word of God has given us a blueprint in how we're supposed to live our lives, how we're supposed to walk in wisdom. And sometimes it's no guarantee that when you do all these things, you're walking in wisdom, doing the right thing, that your life is going to turn out, you're not going to have any problems in life. Just because we are human beings and we live life, life is complex and it's got its own problems. But I think it's important to state that on most occasions, if you follow God's way, that's not to say that you'll be immune from trouble. But sometimes it's actually better to be on the God side and follow God's way and still face trouble and still realize that in that trouble I have God than to do things without God. So this verse in Proverbs is instructing us to put all our trust in the Lord and not our own knowledge. To not be reliant on our strength and knowledge, but to trust in the Lord. And so this instruction is good for when it comes to our salvation. We put our trust in Jesus. But also when it comes to the everyday mysteries and challenges of life, we are following the guidance that we get from the Word of God. Sometimes we may not be able to figure out why things are the way that they are or they're not happening. But as people that follow the Lord, as the church, we say, God knows what's going on in my life, and He's in control, and guess what? I will trust Him. So if I'm looking for I'm out there and I'm looking for a new partner, instead of taking things into my own hands, I'm going to trust the Lord. And there might be some people that might come by and you think, oh, that's an eligible bachelor or whatever they call the ladies. Yes. My point is that you might find a man and a woman that comes where you think that's the one. But the Lord might say to you, no, pause. Even though your heart may desire them, you say, you know what, Lord, I'm going to trust you. And you let that one go away. You let that one pass you by. And then God has somebody for you. Our commitment to the Lord must incorporate all of who we are. Our trust in Him should be reflected in our lifestyle, our outlook, our attitudes, our conversations, our character, and most importantly, our worldview is not determined by what we think is the latest craze, but it's our worldview is directed by what the Lord says in His Word. And so when we place our trust and our confidence in the Lord, He fills our heart with His own perfect peace, which the scriptures say surpasses all understanding. So when we are walking in wisdom, it doesn't mean we switch off the ability to think for ourselves. Because remember that there's dominion that God has given us. He gave us dominion in Genesis and said, you have dominion over the birds of the air, da 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 da. He said all that. So that means that there are certain things that, you know, we've been given the faculties to be able to think for ourselves. And so it doesn't mean we suspend the ability to think, but also I think that it's more about us listening to His voice. and understanding the voice of God in our lives. Because when the storms of life come and when we are faced with difficult situations, we can hear the voice of the Lord because we know how the Lord speaks to us. We can go to His Word. The Holy Spirit will illuminate words, His words to us and to guide us. And so what we do is that when we are faced with issues in our lives that are dumbfounding, we don't know what to do, we pray about it. If you have a decision to make, you pray about it. You seek the counsel of other people around you, trusted people around you. And then, of course, you take a step of faith. But you don't move until you get a release from the Holy Spirit. Until you get a release from the Holy Spirit. There are some things that the Lord is not going to, because you've got the ability to think. So we don't want to be these super spiritual people who say, the Lord told me to buy a Benz or a Toyota. Come on, you know, or shower this morning. The Lord told, no, come on, that doesn't need a lot of faith. Eh? You just do it. But there are other things that are going to actually require that you lean into the Lord. And you don't move until you get a release from His Holy Spirit. So we trust God. The reason why God is asking us to come into relationship, to trust Him, is because when you trust somebody, you can rely on them. Because if they say, I'm going to do something, guess what you're going to believe in? What they've said to you. But if you are not in relationship and you don't know somebody, you cannot trust them. And so when we spend time reading the scriptures, we will know God and His ways and will be familiar with His will. David was in a heap of trouble. In Psalm 3, David was in a heap of trouble. His son Absalom was coming after him. And they wanted to take away the kingdom from David. And he says in Psalm 3, verse 3, but you, O Lord, are a shield around me. You are my glory, the one who holds my head high. I cried out to the Lord, and He answered me from His holy mountain. I lay down and slept, yet I woke up in safety, for the Lord was watching over me. I am not afraid of 10,000 enemies who surround me on every side. Understand that when you are under attack and you're feeling downcast, the first thing that we do when we're feeling downcast is that we feel a heaviness over ourselves, and our head is always bowed down because, you know, we're so into the things that we're going through. And he says that the Lord is our glory. He's a shield around. He lifts our head up. When we are downcast, when we don't know what to do, He just comes on your chin and He gently lifts your head up. David expressed the same sentiment. David, when he was a young person, said when he was facing Goliath, that I come with you, you know, you're coming against the armies of the living God. And so he knew, because of relationship with the Lord, he knew he could trust the Lord because he was with him for the journey. No matter where we found the Lord in the journey of life, we can trust Him that God is going to be with us no matter what. Even if we don't feel like He's there, God said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, even though we are facing challenges in our lives. Tim Keller says, in fact, when we trust God wholeheartedly and we don't want to do things our own way, we don't have a plan B to stuff. Well, if that doesn't work out, then I'm going to do this. Because you see, we never question God's abilities and therefore tuck in a plan B. Because we believe what the Lord said He will do. There is no plan B. We're going to ride with You, Lord, knowing that You will never let us down. Tim Keller writes about the mysterious way the decisions we make, because we've got free will, intricately work in conjunction with God's sovereignty for His glory. In a sermon entitled Christ Our Head, he said, God is so great that He works out a plan to work everything out for your good if you belong to Him and His glory, which takes into consideration your choices and still works His plan out infallibly. John Finkelde came to Port Hedland in 2018 towards probably August, September, and, you know, spoke about wisdom and trusting the Lord when it comes to your decisions. Now, I said to myself, oops, John came a week or 2 weeks too late, because I'd already made a decision to quit my job and to start a business. And you know when you sort of like decided that you're going to do something, you've spoken to some people, and then circumstances change, and then you disregard everything that people have told you, and I'm just doing it anyway. My process was not driven by any science. It was just really, because of my personality, driven by this being gung-ho and saying, I'm going to go, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to succeed. And guess what, Lord, you're going to be with me, and I believe you'll be with me, and I just forged ahead and I did it. The problem was that 4 or 5 months down the track, I was now going back. Things had gone pear-shaped. And I'm like, oh, I wish I could go back and ask for my job back. Too late. And so I was just a bit, because of my personality, just, you know, I would say, Lord, I'm doing this. Are you coming? And let's, you know, just like Peter would do stuff and say stuff and just be so forward and say, I'm not going to, you know, you're not going to go to the cross. Just blurt things out. He said some good things. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the Lord said to him, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And so, yes, Peter was feeling real good about himself. A few moments later, the Lord said, and I'm going to go and die. And he says, no way, you're not going to die. And the Lord says, get behind me, Satan. And so I have that personality that's just a forge ahead and let's do it. And let's believe that somehow the Lord approves of all this. Only to my what? To my own personal detriment. But the point of what Tim Keller was trying to say is that even in spite of our personality, the Lord will sometimes use our own foolishness to propel us in the direction of our purpose and our destiny. Joseph had many brothers. And Joseph was loved by his father. He was given a coat of many colors. And so his brothers were already jealous of him. And he was so unwise in that, because he knew that his brothers loved him, first of all, he went and he told his father what the brothers were doing. And so they hated him because he was probably getting more special treatment. And on top of that, instead of keeping his mouth shut, he decided to tell his brothers a dream where all of them were bowing down to him. And because of that foolishness, the brother says, that's enough. You know, let's kill this guy and let's sell him into slavery. But guess what? Even in that foolishness, the Lord was able to turn things around for us. So when it comes to us, when it comes to walking in wisdom, yes, we are doing things that are in the will of God, that are in the Bible. If it's not in the Bible, then we seek the counsel of godly men and women around us who are going to encourage us, they're going to pray with us, and then we take steps of faith. Because if we get it wrong, guess what? We can adjust. In my church life, I cannot say that I ever heard the Lord say to me, serve in youth. I just did it. I remember one of the things that, you know, you'd say about our church back then, this is in nearly 20-something odd years ago in South Australia, where they're not that welcoming. And then I said, but guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to be the most welcoming person in the church. Somebody never said to me, oh, that's what you need to do. Or the Lord never said, do that. I served in youth. I served in whatever capacity in leadership. I did it. I cannot say that I heard the voice of the Lord saying, do this. I just did stuff. And sometimes when it comes to what's my purpose in life, what should I be doing? I believe my personal experience has been, I discovered things along the road when you start. Is that when you are in motion, then the Lord begins to reveal things to you. When you take a step of faith, when you begin to start serving, when you begin to start doing something, then all of a sudden the Lord begins to direct your path. Never, very rarely, is it when you're stationary and doing nothing, does the Lord begin to speak to you. And so guess what? In all of this desire, what's my purpose in life? That used to be my, you know, I want to serve my purpose. I want to find out what my purpose is. A lot of it was just by trial and error, adjusting, taking steps of faith, getting outside my comfort zone, and taking risks. And my encouragement to us is that as we walk this road, we've got a whole lot of questions we're trying to answer in our head. I say, fail quickly, make adjustments, and move on. Fail quickly, adjust when it's wrong, and then you, now, it's a bit difficult to sort of like say, you jump into marriage with somebody and then you say, oops, I gotta adjust. No, I'm not, I'm not talking about that. I'm just saying that when it comes to these things is that finding out who you are, in terms of what your purpose is served even in your job. So for me, mine is very simple. Mine is to be an encourager, to encourage people. Now that means in my job here, I'm encouraging people with what I'm doing. If I go to work, any secular work, I'm encouraging people in the work that I do. And that's very, it's not complex, it's not this hocus pocus, it's not some pie in the sky thing, it's just simple. But guess what? You discover this along the journey when you start to take steps, not when you're sitting down and waiting to say, Lord, what's my purpose? It is found in motion. So when you come to major decisions so that you walk in wisdom, pray about it, consult with trusted counselors, and take a step of faith. To also help us walk in wisdom, we have to be those people that embrace correction. My child, don't reject the Lord's discipline and don't be upset when he corrects you, for the Lord corrects those he loves, just as a father corrects a child in whom he delights. Walking in wisdom means we may not get things right all the time. Therefore, we should be lovers of correction and discipline, and we should not reject it. And so whether we know it or not, we are constantly being corrected, we are constantly getting discipline. We do that when at work, when they do performance appraisals for us. That's correction. Don't do this, because we don't like that kind of behavior. When you get a speeding fine, that's correction right there. You just broke the rules, $400 you have to pay. And I don't know who loves feedback. At most times, it's hard to take, but it's necessary. So my advice to all of us is that if somebody comes to you and says, I've got some feedback for you, you just sort of like hold your breath and say, okay, fire away, and then let them just continue to go off. But recognizes there's a difference when correction is done in love. It's not meant to injure, but to soothe. It will injure you at first because it hurts. Why did they say that about me? And it stings. But upon reflection and over time, you will recognize that it will soothe you because it helped turn you around. Because we have to understand that not all medicine is sweet. When we took medication back in the day, 35 years ago, the medicine was strong. And then some very smart person at some pharmaceutical company says, you know what? Why don't we just put a bit of sugar with this medication? They put strawberry. But not all medicine is sweet. Sometimes we just have to take and move forward. And we have to see correction as a sign of love and not rejection. There is a difference, though, is that if I am just giving you feedback just to sort of like heap things upon you and not to really move you forward and just to injure you, then that's not the correction you should be accepting. But know that when somebody comes to you and says, hey, I've seen this, I've seen that, know that they're doing it because they love you. Otherwise, they could easily just turn the other way and let you go in disaster. And then finally, as we finish, common sense and discernment. We need just a bit of common sense in the way we do things. Proverbs 3:21-26 says, my child, don't lose sight of common sense and discernment. Hang on to them, for they'll refresh your soul. They're like jewels on a necklace. They keep you safe on your way, and your feet will not stumble. You can go to bed without fear. You will lie down and sleep soundly. You need not be afraid of sudden disaster or the destruction that comes upon the wicked. For the Lord is your security. He will keep your foot from being caught in a trap. Common sense is very important. If I have a personality that is dominant, that is direct, and sometimes that doesn't, no fluff, bang, just gives you straight. They don't encompass the words with the love or fluffy words. No. They just give it. Then guess what? If I am going to live successful relationships or interact with people well, then I have to adjust. Otherwise, I'm going to be viewed some type of way. People will view me in a way that they think, oh, this guy is horrible. But that's just the way that I'm presenting myself. That's not really who I will be as a person. And common sense would tell us that if I keep purchasing things that I don't need, eventually I am going to be in a bit of strife down the road. Yes. And this is why we end up listening to people like Trick Daddy. He's a rapper. Trick Daddy says that if you have more in your garage and in your wardrobe than you have in your bank account, then you're a fool. And so Trick said that, and I'm like, ouch, that hurts. But it's the truth. And so common sense is very important in our lives. And the discernment, because discernment basically says, if I go down this road, this is what is going to happen. And we need that to prevail. We don't want to be, you know, like I had that attitude where, you know what, Lord, we're going down this road. I'm going to do this, but Lord, you're with me. No, exercise some common sense. Let that prevail in our lives. So Solomon reminds through the thought of Alan Sorensen, he says, Solomon reminds his son the importance of staying focused on God's wisdom and discretion, which is like discernment. It's not just knowing what it is, but also aligning our hearts to surrender to that wisdom. We have to allow our hearts to surrender to the wisdom. Otherwise, things will not work for us. We can do, and it's easy to pick on finances because it affects us every day. We do stuff and then we sometimes hope that, Lord, you will be with me. Yeah, he will be with you, except that you'll be in strife. And so I think even with relationships, the things that are important to us, we have common sense has got to prevail. Discernment, and this is why it says that when you've got discernment in your life, you do what? If you hang on to them like a necklace, like jewels on a necklace, it will keep you safe. You can go to bed without fear because guess what? I'm living within my means. I am not buying things that I don't need, that I don't wear, that eventually I'll give away. But guess what I'll have done? I'll have wasted opportunity along the way. I'll have spent all this boxes and boxes of stuff taking 17 pairs of shoes overseas. You know? And when people see that it looks good, it sounds good, but it's quite stupid. You know? hordes and hordes, and when I say hordes and hordes, of clothes with their tags on, that when I'm packing to go overseas, guess what I do? I have to take them off just in case immigration is, you know, opens my bags and wants me to declare the clothes. It looks good to the people that you're gifting this stuff to, but it's not wise. And this is where common sense has to prevail in our lives, and discernment, because we know that if I keep going down this track, disaster is going to follow me. And when disaster strikes, I guess we cry out to the Lord, and by His grace, He'll help us. But sometimes, by His grace as well, He will allow us to wallow in our filth and then take us out of it when we've learned the right lesson. So let's stand this morning as we finish. Do not let God's word and the instruction of His Spirit depart from your sight as you walk in this world. When we get the email from Andrew, who are those people that send us emails for linen? Adairs, yes. So Adairs sends you 50% off. You might think the Lord loves me. And you go and you purchase bedding that you never get to use. And you know what? They will keep sending you emails and emails and emails and emails. Let's not be naive to the cruelty of organizations. It's not because they love you. It's because, you know. That's right. Let's not God's word and the instruction of His Spirit depart as we walk in this world. There are many different things that are clamoring for our attention in this world. They want them to listen to us. And if we listen to them and we don't heed them, it's not wisdom. If I grew up in poor circumstances and now I've got some means, the voice that I'll most likely hear is that you deserve it. You grew up without stuff. You can have more. But if we live our lives this way, where we buy in to the nonsense that is fed to us through the TV, through the advertising, have this, overstretch yourself, and then now you're going to have to work 2, 3, 4 jobs just to make sure that you can cover all your expenses. We will live a very small life, not a life where we can feed into other people and support other people. And even not just, and look, let's not make this about other people, just for yourself, that you can live a full life where you don't have to worry that, oh my goodness, I don't have any money. It's not about, yeah, it's great to help other people, but what about just being able to help yourself and your own family? Staying focused on God and His word is the way to live a life of meaning and purpose. Just like Solomon said, my son, at the end, tie wisdom and discernment and common sense around your heart like jewels on a necklace. Paul says in Ephesians, put on the whole armor of God. And he says this in Ephesians 6, verse 10 to 11. He says, a final word, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on all of God's armor so that you'll be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. And so, Father, this morning we thank You, Lord, that You are calling us, Father, inviting us to be in relationship with You, to walk in wisdom, and to stay on the path of wisdom. And Lord, that we would be those, Father, that would take on the invitation to trust You, to be in relationship with You. That, Father, we would be the men and the women and the boys and the girls that will embrace correction in our lives. Because Your word says that because You love us, You will discipline us. And that we would see Your discipline and Your correction not as a sign of rejection, but a sign of Your love for us. And Father, may we be those that would embrace common sense in our lives. You have given us, Father, dominion, the ability to think. You've given us the faculties, Lord God, to be able to think for ourselves and to discern. And I pray, Lord God, that we would be those that would walk in wisdom. I pray a blessing over our families, Lord God, and over the lives of your people, in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus. And everybody says, amen. God bless you, church. Have a wonderful week, and we'll see.